Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good morning, New England. You are tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. Learn more about the program at allpoliticsislocalma.com. Great interview there with Mr. Dobbs. Nice way to start a Sunday morning, huh, Terry?
Absolutely. Interesting things. I think he's foretelling the future with Mr. Trump. May well be our next president. Certainly what we saw yesterday at the caucus might be an indicator.
The momentum is swinging Trump's way. The people who say that Trump did not have an organized ground game, well, he caught up real quick.
I can tell you, yeah. if he were in any of the caucuses yesterday, you saw some really good organization. I would say two-thirds of the people at the caucus yesterday were part of the Trump team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, more than two-thirds. I'd say even more than that. But hey, Terry, you've got some great, exciting friends here that are going to talk about their book, The Easy Money and the Great Ponzi Scheme. Well, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Well, absolutely. These are new authors, Chris Michaud and John Agostinelli. And why don't you tell us a bit about yourselves and your upcoming book?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for inviting us. It's our pleasure to be here to talk about Easy Money and the Great Real Estate Ponzi Scheme. My name is Chris Michaud. I've been a real estate broker for 30-plus years in three different states. I was the past president-elect of the Maine Association of Realtors. I've done a lot of land development, real estate, investor consulting, and brokerage. And my current focus is promoting the message of Easy Money and the Great Real Estate Ponzi Scheme, training and coaching real estate investors, and doing real estate brokerage for clients.
And I'm John Agostinelli. Thank you very much for having us here today. I, too, have been in real estate for quite some time. I've been in real estate in allied industries for over 25 years. I started off in banking and did a six-year stint at the FDIC where we examined the causes of bank failure and then moved over to the foreclosure unit and handled foreclosures primarily in Massachusetts, and then in 1997, I bought a piece of property at a foreclosure auction, built my first spec house in 97, and started building homes and continued to do so right through 2005, 2006, when the market had turned, and that's when I purchased a World Properties International franchise, and when I was speaking at one of the franchise events, Chris also was speaking at the event. That's where we met, and we were talking about where the real estate market was headed, and we decided to team up together to solicit banks for their bank-owned inventory.
All right, why don't we get right to it? Tell us about what you think's going on in the market, and is history repeating itself? Or are we in for a bumpy ride?
Well, it looks like it. John and I have done extensive research the last 3 years. We've been to Washington a number of times talking to politicians, think tanks, including the American Enterprise Institute, Cato Institute, the bipartisan housing policy folks there. And we've just been all over the place and probably read about, I would say, 25 books apiece or so. And what it looks like to us is that, first of all, the fix, the great Dodd-Frank fix, wasn't much of a fix at all, and it looks like we're headed right back into the same place that we were, circa, I say, about 2000 to 2005. We seem to be right in that modal place right now. The government's complaining, or some of the politicians complaining, that the credit box is too tight, and we find that's exactly the opposite. The credit box is loosening, started with the Obama administration, reducing the G fees. That's the fees, the mortgage insurance premium fees. And we've seen FICO wants to loosen that criteria with FICO 9. And we see an FHFA, who now is the conservator of the GSEs, has reduced the down payment requirement to 3%. Haha, just where we were, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. So we're headed in the same direction if we don't do something to stop it quick.
So what do you think needs to change exactly? Basically make it a little harder for people to buy a home? And I say that via I guess, a little bit more stringent credit information and actually making sure they can pay these loans back.
Well, absolutely, and that falls back to the debt-to-income ratio. And unfortunately, we're seeing push from the left to continue to open the credit box. And it's really not complicated, and the government has the data of what constitutes a risky loan. And right now, Fannie and Freddie are exempt from the very rules put in place by the Dodd-Frank Act in regards to maximum debt to income and the ability to repay. And that's just one of the several factors. They just continue to push these higher risk loans.
Join the conversation, 508-871-7000. We've got the experts in the room. They know about the real estate market. If you have a question or in the market for buying a house, see if it's a good investment. If you want to sell your house right now, it's a good time to get in. They are the authors of Easy Money and the Great Ponzi Scheme. So, guys, I just have to ask you. I mean, Dodd-Frank was supposed to save us all. You guys, it's not worth the paper it's written on? I mean, what do you think?
Well, we can start off by just talking about the size and magnitude of it. So first, much like the 9/11 Commission was supposed to examine the causes of what happened in that tragic event, the Obama administration sought to seek what really caused the financial crisis with the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. The problem is we met with one of the members, one of the commissioners, Peter Wallison, who's also a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. And it was very disconcerting in our interview with him, who told us that the whole thing was a sham and that the outcome of the result itself was already in place before the committee really convened. And in addition to that, the Dodd-Frank Act was signed into law prior to the results of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission were even known. In addition to that, it is the most voluminous regulation laws ever put into place since the Great Depression. We're talking 2,400 pages. Yeah, about 2,300, 1,900 pages in comparison to the Securities Act of 1933, which was only 40 pages long. And of course, it's very costly regulation.
Well, we were just speaking with Lou Dobbs about the crushing student loan debt that young adults have now. And it's interesting that the government is loosening its standards on credit, and I'm in the auto industry on the credit side, and I agree with you. I mean, they're just, you know, everybody has to get a car. Don't worry about DTI or PTI ratios. Just put them in a car. I think the government has a bigger plan. Is they want to load everybody up with so much debt that, and then I'm involved in some planning organizations too, and you're hearing more about urban housing plans and smaller units. And the goal, I think, of the government is to get all of these kids that are overburdened into debt into public housing, and not the typical public housing that we think of from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, but controlled housing. The government wants to control them, yet at the same time, they're loosening standards on credit. What's the goal here of the government? What are they trying to do?
That's very interesting that you comment about that. You might want to check out, I don't have all of the details, but I've run across this in my research. You might want to check out what's going on in Rhode Island right now, because HUD is trying to really take over the housing authority through money. Okay, if you dole out money to the housing authority, you get to do what the government says, right? And so there's a program that they're trying to sell to Rhode Island that would allow the government to tell you where to put housing under HUD. And what you could have, the theory I understand behind all of this is that ultimately HUD would like to control housing around the cities because it's getting too costly for infrastructure out in the suburbs. We're talking 50 years down the road. This is a long-range plan, so I think you may be right on. That's really about all I know about that subject. But if I just may go back to Dodd-Frank, just as an interesting side point, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd pushed high-risky loan mortgages for years and years. And as late as 2008, after the crisis had already started and Hank Paulson had already begged for TARP on his knees in front of Congress and Bush signed it reluctantly the second time around because he used coercion and scare tactics, saying we're going to go into another depression if we don't, these same two guys who was promoting this housing wound up being the architects of Dodd-Frank, who's supposed to keep us out of the next housing crisis. And if you, as John mentioned earlier, the FHFA GSEs have exempted themselves from the same criteria that they're throwing on everybody else. So isn't that ironic?
So I think with something important to our listeners, if some of them are thinking about buying a house or already have a house, what advice would you give them? You know, take that loan while you can get it, or rent an apartment.
Well, it depends where they are in their life, right? So when you're ready to purchase a home and your life a situation presents that situation, that is the right time to buy the home as long as you can comfortably afford it. And it's the affordability that we're really talking about here.
All right, we're talking with the authors of Easy Money and the Great Ponzi Scheme, John Agostinelli and Chris Michaud. We're going to take a quick break, but join the conversation, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.